in faith and victory. For the Lord, thy God, is with thee. Be bold, be strong. For thy God is with thee.
He's with you.
Be bold.
Say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of God tonight? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you will. Brother Tracy, his gallbladder surgery was a success. They're just asking that we would remember him in prayer, that the Lord would give him a speedy recovery. I want to pray for Brother Emmanuel Wade, has a cough and fever since yesterday. Also, Sister Carol Wade has bronchitis and a very bad call for the last 6 days, so they're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer tonight. Please remember the daughter of Robert and Lydia Shamel. I hope I got that name close to right in prayer. They were hit head on by a drunk driver last night. Both were critically injured. They were flown this morning to the hospital in Springfield, Missouri. Both have serious injuries. Also, Robert and Lydia lost everything they owned in a fire last month. So let's remember those folks in prayer. As we pray tonight, we want to continue to pray for Sister Magdalena Carter. She's having another chemo treatment, but is doing better, so they want to praise the Lord for that. We want to pray for Brother Joel Moyer, who asked the church to pray concerning a job situation that involves complex situations due to an injury that he received. So they're asking that we would remember those requests tonight. I want to pray for Don Forum for several decisions to be made in his life. The Lord knows all about those things. We just commit them unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Natalie Yance. She's in Illinois. An x-ray show a large cyst pressing against her bladder and colon. She will be having surgery on Friday afternoon, and ask that everybody will be praying for her, that all will be well in Christ Jesus. So let's commit her unto the Lord. We know that God's brought her a long, long ways, and he's able to do a complete healing in her body. So we just pray for her tonight. Sister Barbara Gould, sick with flu-like symptoms, needs a touch from the Lord. Prayer request says, I have an urgent housing need, a place for me and my family to live. The Lord knows who, and also all about our needs. So let's commit that to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Eddie Yance. He has pneumonia, so let's pray for his situation, that the Lord would be mindful of him. I just came back from the hospital in Elizabethton. Beulah, my sister, is still in the hospital and cannot have any visitors or anything like that. The need is just severe. So if you would remember her, and her family going through a real tough time right now. If you just remember those folks in prayer. I also want to pray for the family of Sister Ruth Dean. We had another one, Brother Terry, that was promoted to glory this week. Sister Ruth Dean passed away early this morning, went home to glory. Her service will be Friday, January the 20th at Tetrick Funeral Home in North Johnson City. The viewing will be from 5 until 7, with the funeral service beginning at 7 o'clock. Burial will be in Roselawn Cemetery at 11 a.m. I'm supposing that's on Sunday morning. Is that right, Brother Jimmy? On Saturday morning. All right. So we certainly want to remember the family in prayer and ask God to comfort their hearts during this time. But I tell you what, to leave this pest house and to go to a place that our precious loved ones are going to, you can't have hard feelings toward them leaving. You just say, Lord, just come and get us everyone. Is that right? But we want to remember those folks as they grieve in this time of their life, that God would just be merciful to them. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our troubles, all of our problems. He is greater. Do you believe that tonight? And we commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother David, God bless you. Glad to see our brothers made it back from Nicaragua. God bless you. Come and pray tonight. You want to say a word about your trip? You don't want to say a word about you? Well, I can tell he's glad to be home.
We had some tremendous meetings in Nicaragua. We certainly appreciate your prayers. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be able to get again this evening, Lord. Lord, for every request that's been turned in tonight, Lord, we ask that you would move upon each need, Lord. Many serious requests, Lord, that's been laid here on the pulpit. And Father, we just want to pray together by prayer of faith, Lord, and ask that you would meet these needs, Father. Lord, as the children of God, we stand upon the promise of the Word. You said to ask anything in your name and it shall be given. Lord, we stand to claim that redemptive right as the child of God tonight, Lord. And we stand believing, Father. We ask, Lord, may it be done just according to your Word. Lord, we curse the sickness upon the bodies of the children of God tonight, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for healing in their bodies, Lord. For those, Lord, that's been through sickness, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you give them a speedy recovery. Those that's in the hospital, Lord. For those that was injured in an accident, Lord, such a serious accident. Lord, may you just move on the scene, I pray. May the supernatural hand of God, Lord, may it move in and touch these young ladies, Lord. And Father, may you raise them up. We thank you, Lord, for sparing them. We just ask, Lord, that you'd help them now. Give them strength in their bodies, Lord. Encourage the faith of the family. We ask, Lord, during this time, Lord, we would ask. We ask, Lord, you'd be with our minister tonight. Give him strength, Lord. Give him words to say to our hearts. We pray as we come to feed once again around the Word of God. And grant it, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come tonight, this time we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Those that will be streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless them. Let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need. And I'm glad he done something about it. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Let's sing it if you will. I shall for him.
yes it will.
My song of praise,
yes it will.
For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do
sing the song, children.
Just how.
Probably not prepared, but come here. I want you to lead us in that course, walking up the King's Highway. Had a request to sing this song the other night, and I said, that's not my song, that's Joel's song. So, Brother Joel, you lead us in that. We love this guy right here, don't we? Appreciate Brother Joel. You sang it, baby. You look great.
Well, my way gets brighter. My locus light, walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's Highway. It's a highway to heaven. King's Highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me, walking up the King's Highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to be on that highway, aren't you? Somebody say hallelujah. Give Jesus one more big hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Brother Joel Brown's going to come give us a song. Appreciate Brother Joel Brown. He's a wonderful brother. We love him around here. Amen. Bless you, buddy.
I'm going to work again. Okay. That old devil. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the first of everything in my life. If it wasn't for him, the things that I do have, the little things that I have, the important things that I have, would not even be a part of my life. We all know that, the simplicity of who he is and what he does. And I, as Brother Louis had asked me to sing a song, and you know, and as one who does sing, just mind the Rolodex just rolls. And I just began to think, you know, as you look upon my life, as you see me, Joel Brown, as the person in whatever capacity that I feel in life, there'll be things that you'll see that may not look right to you or may not sound right to you. But when something rubs you the wrong way that I do or that I say, because I'm human too, just like you guys are, think about this song, because as you pass up and down the roads, we see the constructions going on, the homes and buildings and all of this. And as we go through life or we go along our way, and as the days and weeks go by, we see the big building begin to take a little more structure, a little more semblance of normalcy. So if that should happen, and I don't do it intentionally, of course, but again, we're just human. I want you to think about this song, because I'm in the process of being... Is that all right? I'm not fully complete yet. I'm in the process of becoming. Amen. Why'd you say all that? I have no idea. I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. I'm holding up the blood-stained banner of my Lord. I never get tired. Working on my building, I'm going up to heaven. Oh yes, and get my reward. I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. I'm in the process of. I'm holding up the blood-stained banner. Praying, I'm just working on my building. And when you see me crying, I'm just trying to get home. But I'm not gonna give up until I reach glory and proclaim to my Father how I made it over. See me praying. Is this all right? I'm just working on my building. Now when you see me crying, this old boy's just trying to get home. But I won't give up, no, 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 until I reach glory and proclaim to my Father. Holding up the blood stained banner for my Lord.
For we know if this, our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now listen to this in Melchizedek. Therefore the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Now he's talking about the setting of the rapture and the resurrection. The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, wow. No airplanes, no helicopters, no spaceships, but you're in the air. I'm going to have to be changed to do that. I can tell you that right now. I'm not scared of heights, but this kind of heights I would be scared of. But if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Now we see plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death and where we go after we die. Now look at the stages of this. In journey, in death, and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. Now listen as we teach this closely. The stages of the eternal purpose he had in his secret has now been revealed. Let's bow our heads together. Anybody like to be remembered in prayer tonight? God bless you. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, that we once again can be gathered together around the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. We believe, Lord, that when we gather like this and we sense your presence and know that you are near us, and then you begin to take your word, that sheaf of the Son of Man is being waved over your people. We know that as we feed upon the word, something supernatural happens inside of a true converted child of God. That we are being formed into that word image as we feed upon the word. So I pray that you'd help us tonight as we hear the word. May we be partakers of this service. We've not come just to sit. We've not come, Lord, to just sit and be entertained and listen to the preacher. But we want to be a part of what's being said. I pray that you'd help them to realize they have a great, great part to play in this service tonight. We want it to be what you would consider to be a success once we're finished, Father. Anoint me, anoint them. Granted, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Because our lives are quite complex, and because they're made up of several stages of the eternal purpose, and part of this threefold purpose that Brother Branham tells us here is our journey, our death, and where we go after we die. The journey is a part that is very hard for many people to grasp and understand. In it, it involves the determinant foreknowledge and the counsel of God. In it is the highest high that a person could ever think of. But also in it is the other part that contrasts that high, and that is the human part once you have arrived in this element of time. The journey itself consists both eternity and time. The journey actually originated in his mind, winds up down here for an element of time, for some folks 6 months, maybe for some a year, some 50, 60, 70 years, some have lived 800, 900 years. And then once that part of the journey is done, then they go back and step into the other part. But yet, it is journey and in death and where we go after we die. Part of the mystery of that, that God so wanted to secure, that those out of the book of life would be those that would be the true elect of every age, that the Lamb's portion of the book of life, that they would be such a part of what God was doing, that they would not just be around the Word of every age. They would not be those that would even give ear to the Word and say, well, I believe it's true. But yet they would actually be a part of the Word itself. Now, in order to make them secure and to make the promise secure, God had to do it in such a way that those which would not be a part of that, they must also have a way by which if they want to come, they can come, and he will deal with them in a just manner. But these others that are in the special section of this Lamb's Book of Life, which are the redeemed, they are a separate class of people. And God deals with them in a special way. Now, he gives them a deposit of himself. That's something from his word. They receive actually two allotments of his divine inheritance. That is, they receive that part of the attribute which was in his mind and his thinking when they come to the earth prior to conversion. But it leaves them in a state to where that they can remain a sinner, unconverted, lost, out of the fellowship of God, away from God's presence for many, many years. Many of them will go for decades before they ever come to that recognition. Then God does another work inside of them to where they become quickened by the Spirit of God. And then that word which is written for the age actually is united with that word which they received when they come to the earth. And then it brings to pass a transformation of something inside of them and no longer leaves them in the world of darkness. Then they are saved, they are found, they're in a regenerate state, but yet they receive two portions from God. One of them, the first portion, can lay there, as we call it, in a dormant state for many, many years of their life, and then it receives the quickening power, as we looked at it this last week, where the great supernatural power of God, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the deep, Ruach Elohim, and as he comes, it's the same one that comes down through the Old Testament, Ruach Elohim, and then Ruach Adonai. But it is the same one moving in different stages of his power. Now, he chose to reveal himself in this way in order that his great attributes would be revealed more clearly. So God, as he moves upon us, as the Spirit of God moved in the beginning over the face of the deep, and the Bible does not say that he actually landed upon the deep, but he moved upon them. And as we looked at it, it was the Hebrew word which was to hover. So he hovered above the waters because it was not suitable yet for him to land upon or rest upon. So he hovered over the waters, Ruach Elohim. So here he hovers over them, and he is doing it in a type and a shadow of the elect of God that will come down in their different ages for thousands of years to come. So he will hover over us as he did whenever you and I were born. Now, he could not go into us in the person of the quickening power without first there must be a transforming something that would change us. But once he does that, then he not only hovers over us, but he goes in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. Then the token is expressed in our lives. So it is the hovering of God over you whenever you are born. Now, you had no choice of that, thank God, because most of us probably made the wrong choice, as we did most of our life. But it was God's own divine appointment. Now, watch this. So this is part of the secret of the journey stage of our life. Now, let's read this again. We've read it several times. We'll read it again. God, who is rich in mercy. I might inject a little bit of doctrine here. He said, if you don't believe it, all right. That's just okay. I do believe it. I believe that when a man is born into this world, that when you're a little baby, born into the world. You could not have come here without being the foreknowledge of God, because he's infinite and knows all things. And when that little baby is born into the world, notice this now, there is something in that baby. Now, here God makes a deposit, but it is the deposit of the Word which can lay in the dormant state. Now, this is in no means the quickening power of God, because the quickening power of God cannot lay in a dormant state. Totally impossible. But this is the part of your identity. This is the part of your journey which is seed form as the Word. Now we know, we thank God for the Word. We love the Rhema. We love the Logos. We love the Word. But yet the Word, it takes the Spirit of God to quicken the Word, to make the Word live. So this is the part of your inheritance, the attribute which was in the mind of God, which was separate from quickening power. Now he had to do it this way in order to make it work correctly. As he spoke and said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. So God sowed those seeds and they landed in the water that had covered over the earth, and they may have laid there for tens of thousands of years. And he separated the seed away from quickening power in order to make the program of God work. So he did the same with you. Let there be this, let there be that, let there be that, let there be that. And yet when he sowed that, if he would have sowed it united with quickening power, as soon as he said it, you'd come to the earth a baby full of the Holy Ghost. But he divided that part of the Word away from quickening power so you'd receive the seed, and then years on down the road you'd receive the quickening power which would give life to that seed and you'd bring forth the crop. Glory! Hallelujah! Now, notice, watch how Brother Branham goes into this, and he says, when this little baby is born into the world, there's something in that baby. If he's ever going to have life, there's something in there in that child then that he comes to. Something in that child then that he comes to. Notice, sooner or later, that little seed is in him. But as any seed, you can go to the hardwood store, or the hardware rather, or you can go to Lowe's, and before long they'll be putting out grass seeds and pumpkin seeds and mater seeds and tater seeds, and there they are in a pack. Who knows how long them seeds have been in that pack? They might have been several years in the making, and they'll stay right there in that pack in the Lowe's, and they'll never germinate, they'll never grow, and they'll be right there. I wonder how many ever pick up them tomato seeds and pick them up and ask that little tomato pack, how many plants is in you? How many maters is in you? There ain't no telling. Now, it could be thousands times thousands times thousands, but yet right there in that little nice package, little package, they hang there in my or burpee or whatever the name of them is, and they're so pretty and they're so nice, and they'll never grow one meter as long as they're in Lowe's department store. It's the same way with the Word of God. We can have it in our mind, we can have it in our intellect, but it only produces sons and daughters of God when that seed word is quickened by the Holy Ghost. I don't want this message just in my head. I don't want it just in my mind. I want it to be quickened in my soul by the Holy Ghost. So watch, a baby, a predestinated name on the book of life, receives a seed when he's a baby. That little seed is in it. Now, if you've got eternal life tonight, if we have eternal life, then we always were. Because there's only one form of eternal life. Brother Donnie, when are you going to quit preaching this? When we go flying out of here. Glory. Notice, if we have eternal life, then we always. Amen. Because there's only one form of eternal life. We always were. And the reason we were, because we are a part of God. And God is the only thing that's eternal. And like as Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham, and it was allotted to his great grandson Levi, who was yet in the loins of Abraham, paid tithes, amen, for he was yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. Now we are a part of God. How many believes it? We are a part of God. You always was. Now, not Donnie Reagan. Donnie Reagan wasn't always was. There was a time he was not, and a time he'll not be again. But whoever I am, and whatever my real name is, always was. Right. You don't remember it because you're only an attribute in God. You were only in his thinking. Your very name, if you was ever on the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world. He knew what you were. I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out. Well, what I don't understand is why preachers in this message and people in this message don't take the straightened out version. Why do they want to preach the mixed up thing the way it was before we come to the message? I'm convinced some folks like things more mixed up than they do straightened out. The bottom line is, folks, a lot of folks cannot die to tradition. Well, my grandma, my grandpa, my grandma, my grandpa too, but I ain't going into my grandma and grandpa. I'm going into His Word. Right. Now, watch. He says, I'm not saying this to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out. We might get away from this fear and scare. Also, if you don't believe that you always were, it produces a fear and a scare. And you can't know who you are if you don't know you was before you was. Glory. You might get away from this fear and scare. You don't know who you are. But now, wait a minute. I've known who I was here since I was that high. Ain't you? I mean, I realize as you get older, you get to a spot you don't know who you are, and nobody else either. But right now, currently, we do. So is it me knowing who I am, Donald Lee Reagan Jr., born July 9th, 1956, Don and Betty Reagan, is that what it is? Is that me knowing? That has nothing to do with it. That's what keeps me down so much. So in order to get away from the fear and scare of me not knowing of who I am, I've got to break into an understanding that I existed before now. Oh, glory. For when God had you in His thinking at the beginning, you have to be some part of you. Your life that's in you now had to be with God before. Well, even before He became material on earth, before there was anything but God, you were one of His attributes. He knowed what your name would be. He knowed the color of hair you'd have. He knowed all about you. The only thing happened is when you being a sinner. Listen, you being a sinner. Now listen carefully. You could not be a sinner with quickening power, but you can be a sinner with a dormant seed. If you ever receive quickening power, the days of being a sinner are gone. Glory! I know some of y'all still sing this song. I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. You better get that chicken thinking away from you. Tell me, how can you be a sinner and be saved at the same time? How can you be a sinner, son? Come on. You're either one or the other. You're either a sinner or you're a son. You can't be both. Well, some of you don't like it. Do you understand what Satan's done to us? Satan not only got corrupted our thinking and our minds with preaching, he has corrupted it with Southern gospel music. A lot of these people wrote these songs, and you'll sing them songs 50,000 times more than you'll quote a preacher's sermon. Because you'll sing that song over and over and over and over again, and it's embedding tradition in you, more tradition in you, more tradition in you. And when you hear some knothead like me stand up here and tell you you always were, it's not a scripture, it's not so much just a preacher's sermon, it's that good old Southern gospel song that goes through your mind. Glory! I'd rather have about four or five good gospel songs that's really the truth than 75,000 that's a bunch of hybrid mess that's corrupting me from hearing the truth. I'd rather sing, Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. His blood washes me whiter than snow. That lamb, he always knew I'd be, knew I'd be, knew I'd be. That lamb always knew I'd be. He let me know so long time ago. That lamb is coming back for me, back for me, back for me. That lamb is coming back for me. He tells me in His Word, and I know it's so. Glory. Watch this. Many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. Notice Brother Man didn't say everybody there. But many of you, when you was a little boy, or a little girl. You'd walk around and there'd be certain things that would just where it wouldn't bother other kids. It seemed like there was something in you that cried after. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. There was God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. You remember that, he says? And the congregation says, glory. What was that? That was that little form of life. And you think, now what is it? It's the seed. Now it's not quickened yet. It's not quickened and it's not controlling you. It's not emanating out of your soul. It's a seed. It's part of the Word. And just like any other promise of the Word, Isaiah 9:6, laid in the Scriptures for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Never saved anybody until that Word was quickened in a baby. And once that Word was quickened, amen, then what? The power in that Word was released. Notice this. But one day, oh my, what was it, that little form of life in you then? In the natural, while you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to church. You picked out this and that, went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being a part of God, you had to be a part of the Word. And when you heard the Word, glory to God, you know where you come from. Okay, let me just ask you something then with that in mind. So when you got saved, the Baptist church, or wherever it was, did you know where you come from? Some of us that come through Pentecost, shouted, spoke in tongues, cast out devils, danced. And we heard that. Did we know where we come from? Hang tight with me now. When we were first introduced to the message and found out God sent a prophet, did we know where we come from? Can't you see, friend, as the seed is quickened, the Word, oh man, when you look at the Word quickened, it's not quickened one time, but it's quickened again and again and again and again. It's growing, unfolding, unfolding, unfolding. And many of you were quickened years and years ago, but finding out who you are, you just become quickened recently. You might sit around this message for 50 years and not know who you are. But one day the quickening stage moves upon your recognition. Glory to God.
Well, now, Brother Donnie, won't that make people live loose? Won't that make them drink? I figure it will. I drink all I want to drink myself. Sure. Man, I go down to the liquor store as often as I want to go. I rob as many banks as I want to rob. Rape as many women as I rape. I shoot as many people, blow their brains out, run over people, kill them, cut their guts out. I do all that that I want to do. I've been predestination this way for many, many years. I ain't backslid yet. As a matter of fact, I can't. Because I got quickened. I ain't got just seed. I got life. Amen. Oh, man. We preach people can cross the line. Cross the line. I believe that too. But I believe there's another line you can cross that you'll never get back from being saved. When you heard the Word, you know where you come from. And you knowed what was the truth. You were always. Now notice the truth. When you hear the Word, notice what you begin to acknowledge. Not there's angels, not there's stars, not there's moons, not that God sent a prophet. But you notice that you were always. You realize folks whose emphasis is only on Brother Benjamin, this message, they still ain't heard yet. Well, glory. You know what was the truth. You were always that seed. Wasn't you? Always. Not the Holy Ghost. Not quickening power. But the seed. the word, saying the word that was in you, that was before the foundation of the world, saw the word. Glory to God. And you come to it. Now this is part of your journey. Notice in paragraph 50 he tells about the eagle story. And he said that's the way it is with every born again believer. Talking about the eagle coming out of the barnyard. You can hear all the theology you want to and all the man-made discrepancy. But when that word flashes out there, there's something takes a hold. And you come to it. You who were once dead in sin, that life has he quickened. There has to be a life there first, isn't there? There's got to be something there to quicken first. This is why all people cannot be born again. There's nothing there to quicken. They can be saved. Let me give you a broadened version of a story that I gave you a few weeks ago. If one of our young boys here at the church, or young girls, got out and got lost in the woods with a friend of theirs, a search was going on, you fathers was the one, you go through the rocks, the creeks, the whatever more, and you hear your daughter, your son hollering, help, help, somebody help. And you recognize that voice. And you run to where they are and you find them there. And this friend of theirs has broken an ankle or a leg. And your daughter hasn't. They're battered up a little bit and scarred up and tore all to pieces and lost. Now what kind of man or woman are you going to be to take a hold of your child's hand and leave the other one there to die? Now most of you, even if you was not very strong, you'd try to do whatever you could to not only get your child out of that lost condition, but you'd reach out a merciful hand to that other one, which was not even your child. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But are all his children? No, they're not. Now, you may have to actually reach down and pick up that one that is not yours and carry them. When yours can walk out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you may have to carry that one. And that one that's not yours may look at you over and over again and say, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy. Just put me down. You're getting tired. I'm not worthy of this. But would you want your child to pick up the language of that one you were carrying? And look to you and say, I'm not worthy, Father. I'm not worthy, Father. I'm not worthy. That child must separate and differentiate his position. If you was not worthy, he would not have come looking for you. If you was not worthy to be redeemed, he would not have gone through what he went through. But on his journey, he made a way for others that was out there in the world. Their names was not on the Lamb's book. They were not his attributes. But yet he was willing to reach out and say, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. If you left that young man or young woman in the woods, more than likely you would be charged with a crime. Every paper in this area would rat you up. What an absolute animal you are. Your picture would be on the internet. It would be around the world. But if you picked up that child, which was not your child, and you saved that child, you would then become a hero. That child might be as black as it could be. It might be an Asian. It might be from Palestine. It might be who knows from where it might be from. But that child, as long as it's got a human heart, It would love you. There would be something special about you the rest of its life because you saved its life. Now, what kind of a person would your real child be to say, hey, you're giving it attention and you're petting it. Come on, children. We shouldn't get mad if God wants to save the Baptist. If God wants to save all these folks out here, let him do it. They'll never take your place. You are his bride. You are his attributes. But his love is so great and so profound. He loves them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't be jealous because they get healed. Don't be jealous because God moves for them. If you look at your father right and him carrying that child out of that situation, you know what you're going to do? You're going to look at your father and you're going to admire him. Maybe he had to stop who knows how many times in order to get that child out of there panting for breath. And oh man, you know that he has a bad back or he's got this or that or the other, but he ain't going to leave that young man or that young woman there. He's going to get them out of the mire. You look at him and say, oh my, how great my daddy is. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. Folks look at predestination, they think it's so mean. You know why they think that? Because they don't understand it. You know why many folks in the message do it? And even some of you still question in your mind because you don't understand it. You're not looking at it right. But if you look at it right, you'll stand back and look at your father and say, oh, he's an awesome daddy. He's an awesome God. He's so powerful. He's so rich in mercy. We were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. You who were once dead in sin and trespasses, wherein we all had our times past, but he has quickened. Oh, what a beautiful, illustrious part of our journey. So the seed leaves his mind, comes down through the dimensions, down through the horizontal rainbow, brings it to the dimensions of time. At the moment you take the breath of life. And it, God deposits. You cry like other babies. You take a bottle. You do like other babies do. Look like other babies. But when you start getting big enough to start knowing right from wrong, that's something there begins to kind of gnaw on you. Kind of pull you. No. I've got too many seeds. I want to do this. I want to do that. The other. Now it cannot take over yet. It cannot control you. It can nudge. It can whisper. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. But once that thing becomes quickened and you become born again and you become found. Found. Then that quickening life inside of you now takes up another stage of your journey. Now the deposit of the word, you must answer for that deposit. It's strange about God, strange to us. God loves to have his word tried. He loves to have his word tested. So this is where we are. I believe myself in the message. Years and years after the prophet has been gone, then God had to allow the devil a chance to come in and attack the message folks. But then said, does God change his mind about his words? You know that God allowed that false prophet Balaam to come among the children of Israel to prove that many of them did not have an inheritance on the other side. So God has always moved that way. God sets forth the word, then God backs up and he lets the enemy come in and try those people that say they believe that word. You're not trying. You're not proving who you are just by your mouth. You're not proving who you are just by coming to church. You prove who you are when you're tried. Now watch this in Melchizedek. We see the attribute sons of his spirit and not yet entered into the word form body, but a theophany. This body is subject to the word in earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now the difference between him and you is the son. Now I may have read this to you last Wednesday and I emphasized it then. I'm going to emphasize it again tonight. There's not near as much difference between you and Jesus, what you think.
Amen. was the Son of God.
I know that.
But he died for our sins.
I know that.
And I died with him. God made me pay for my sins in his body. I was in Calvary too. Glory. And I was in the tomb with him when he got up. Now watch, the difference between him and you as the Son is, he was at the beginning the Word in a morphic body. He came and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. Then later we'll never hear no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you, notice the difference between you and him. He come down this way, become the attribute until theophany appeared on the earth and a human form took up, breathed into this body, stepped into this body, and later that personality became Jesus Christ. But you, the difference between you and him was, you bypassed that capability. You bypassed that. Because in that form, he knowed all things and you've never been able to know that. Yet. Now I realize some of y'all think you know it all, but you don't yet. Amen. And more than likely, those of you that think you know it all now probably never will. Because that attitude never gets you nowhere. Jesus knew it all, but you never know that he knew it all because he never acted like he knew it all. Yet he knew it all, but yet he never acted like he knew it all because then that would make him on the wrong side because know-it-alls don't know anything at all. Glory! Now notice, you come like Adam, like me. Now you realize, according to the Hebrews theories, this is the exact opposite of what he taught in Hebrews 1957. He said that Adam was in a theophany first. Oh, I'm so sorry. I done ruined the sermon for some of you. Oh man. Come on, wake up. Change. He did. Change with it. You come like Adam, like me. You became from the attribute to the flesh. Ah, well, that first part was wonderful, wasn't it? From the attribute to the flesh. And then these next three words. What a thing to follow. But look at your journey. You come from the attribute in the mind of God to the flesh. To heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to walk on water, to be tempted. What does it do? The condescension, the attribute simply moves from the mind, from his thinking. And put in this kind of a body, and once it descends, transcends, and comes down into this, all of a sudden it weakens it. It changes it to words that in the mind of God, it can never be tempted. In the mind of God, it can never be tried. But once it comes in this kind of a body, then all of a sudden that attribute being expressed in human flesh, then it can be tested. So you come from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earth, the tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the word. Then we can look back and see what not God done, but what we done. Imagine when we move into that realm and we all for a moment turn back. There must be something of vital importance that once we're actually burst into that word body that will consummate the mystery of our journey. Because even when we're burst into that, it leaves part of an element still a mystery. And the only way we'll know it is when we turn and look back. Wonder how we'll look on things of tests and trials and things that, oh my, that we didn't understand it. We didn't understand why we went through this and how come that happened, me a Christian? How come this bad thing happened to me? How come this and that? And as we are now, we go right on looking forward, looking forward, looking forward. If we look back now, we get in trouble. But we can look back then and be finished. So when we get there, we'll look back and say, oh my goodness. That's how come, oh wow, That's why that was on. Oh, because now I'm in the Word. And from this point of view, I can look back down through the stages of my journey. And it all makes perfect sense. Notice then, we can look back and see what we've done. Now we don't understand it. I've used this example before, and I'll use it again tonight. These nurseries here on the that we have on the left and right-hand side of the church, they have a certain type of film on the glass there. Some of it is actually made in the glass itself. But whenever you all look at it, you can turn and look at it if you wish. Whenever you turn and look at it, it looks like a mirror. That has to do with the light, the way the light is. Because the light is greater on this side than it has a reflective effect. But them sitting on the inside, they're looking at us. They understand what's going on, what's being said. But we can't see them. They may be back there standing on their head. They may be playing jacks. And I don't know what they're doing back there because I can't see them. They can see me, but I don't have no idea what they're doing. And you realize that we're looking through a veil, and because the light is so bright on his side, we can't make a lot of things out. We can't understand why this, why that, but where he's sitting at, it makes absolute perfect sense. Why would God take a husband? Why would God take a child? Why would God take a wife? Why would God let some of his children leave this world in horrible accidents and terrible, terrible diseases? I don't know. I don't know. Because I'm like you. I got my face up to the window too. And I'm looking and I'm peering through and I'm trying to understand it. But I just can't make it out. Glory to God. Oh my. But once I get into that, then I can look back and say, oh my goodness. So when God allowed that to happen, that triggered this, which also caused that, which caused this, which also reflected to that person and caused this person to this. And this preacher said that and this one did. Oh my goodness. You mean out of that one instance in somebody's life, somebody heard somebody turn in a testimony and this preacher heard it and this one done this because of that and 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 that. And we bellyached and groaned about the whole thing the whole time it's going on. Notice this in paragraph 69. It makes it clear. You will never be the Word.
Hallelujah.
Unless you was a thought at the beginning. Now notice that don't prove grace. That proves the predestination of God. Hold on now. You did not find grace at Calvary. You found it before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and associated your name before there's ever one sin on the earth. Before there was ever a man, there was a plan. Before there was ever anybody lost, there was a cross. You found favor in his sight, and he slipped that wedding band of predestinated unmerited grace on your finger before the world ever was started. Before you ever even said, will you? Oh my, he didn't say, well, I'm thinking about having a bride. Will you marry me? He slipped it on your finger before you even had a choice to say yes. He knew what your answer would be, so he went ahead and put it on there. Notice, you had to be in the thinking first. Now watch this stage of the journey. In the thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation. So you go from the thinking to temptation. You had to bypass the theophany. If you'd have come down here in flesh, you had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you stand, all the Father's given me will come to me and I'll raise him up to the last day. See? You had to be first. But then you see, he come right down the regular line. The attribute from the foundation of the world. His name is from the Lamb's Book of Life. You mean God wrote Jesus' name on the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, it's a marriage certificate. You didn't want the groom's name on there, but yours, don't you? he become the Word? Oh, he becomes the Word. What was he before the Word? An attribute. Somebody shock my memory. Isn't that what we were? So he become from the attribute to the Word, to the theophany, and he becomes the flesh and reverse back to that, and you come how? From the attribute to the flesh man. Sounds like to me y'all come from the same source. That's why he's not ashamed to call them brethren. For he who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. My Lord Jesus. So his name is from the Lamb's Book of Life, and from that he could become the Word, the theophany, that could appear, disappear, then he become flesh and return back again, resurrected, the same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Notice, he didn't say when this body receives the seed. The seed within itself will not make your body obey the Word. Friends, this is why a lot of message folks can't overcome. They're filling themselves, and Satan has buffaloed many of them into thinking if they just listen to tapes, go to church, listen to a preacher, read the Bible, and they're filling themselves with seed. Seed will not do it. How many years did Sarah receive seed from her husband? Paul did not say that Sarah received seed to conceive, but strength. Glory to God. She received seed from her husband ever since she was a young girl. But she did not necessarily need more seed. She needed strength to conceive. She didn't need to receive, but conceive. Praise the Lord. Do you understand when you listen to tapes, when you read your Bible, when you come to church? It ain't enough just to come. It ain't enough to turn the tape on, but pray before you listen to them tapes. God, give me strength to conceive. Lord, anoint my thinking and I can get off of them tapes what I need. Oh, glory. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. See, it throws your body subject. So it's throwing it, is it? Must not be willing. If you're having to throw something around, I mean, it don't sound like to me it's willing to walk, so you just pick it up and throw it. You understand that's what you've got to do to your body? Yeah. Throw it! Yeah. Oh, you don't have to say, oh, I wish I could quit drinking. Oh, if I could just get in Christ and it's all gone. Because your body is subject to the Spirit. Yeah, oh no, oh my. It's no more subject to the things of the world again. They're dead. Your sins are buried in baptism and you're a new creation in Christ. Now look, the deposit of the seed has now been quickened. Now you become accountable for that seed that you've received. Now when you was a sinner before your conversion, you was lost, you was out of this utter chaos as the earth was, you was not accountable. Because you was in a darkened cast, the earth was not accountable. She was there covered over with ice and rock. Elohim moved upon the earth and fluttered with a fluttering move of his wings. Amen. Then the earth counteracts and something began to respond on the earth. The atmosphere changes and gives the seed the proper environment for it to grow. Now, once we receive the quickening power then to the seed, now we become responsible for our actions and our behavior under this new life. Oh my. Now watch. Brother Ben says, 2 Corinthians 5:1, if this earthly body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have one. See, we bypass that to come straight from God. Is there anybody here who believes this besides me? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We must have a bunch of visitors tonight from other churches. We're really glad to have y'all with us tonight. I honestly think so. I've seen some of you all before, but how many believes this besides me? I just want to know how many's going to go with me in Russia. Rest of it, we'll see you on the other side of the tribulation, I guess, if you don't believe it. It's because you ain't going to get out of here if you don't believe it. Notice, if this body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, see, we have bypassed that to come straight. Straight. From God. The attribute. To be flesh. Your journey was like this. Straight from the mind of God. To that hospital, to Johnson City Medical Center. Or the bed at home that your mother brought you forth with somebody there helping her, wherever it was, straight. You. Just like that. The first stage of your journey. You traveled like a thought. So you left the realms of God's mind, the great expanse in His thinking, and come straight from God. Whew. Oh my. So we bypass that to come straight from God, the attribute to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin. So that to come from God has to be proven, tried. Why? He proves His word. And if you are one of His words, you must be proven. Glory. Like Adam did. But when testing of His word is over. Now wait a minute. Now we talking about the word, or we talking about you? One and the same. So when the testing of the Bible is over? The testing of the tapes, the testing of the books that we print, the voice of God prints, and where they come from. Is that the testing we're talking about? No. Hallelujah. It was not the Bible that projected from the mind of God. It was not the books from Jeffersonville. It was not the tapes from Jeffersonville. It was you. The rapture is not Jesus going away, didn't go away and say, behold, I go away to prepare tape racks in heaven. And if I go away, I will come again and receive your tapes unto myself. That where I am, there are your tapes. Maybe also. No tapes, go on the rapture. No Bibles, go on the rapture. No King James, no International, no Schofield, no whatever more. The only Bibles that go on the rapture are the living Bibles. The living Word, glory to God, hallelujah. So you being a part of the Word, and He placed that deposit in you, and from the time you are on your journey toward God, that Word starts being tested and tried. Notice this. But when testing of His word is over, then we are taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. So when the word becomes birthed and it starts uniting under the quickening power with the word, and you're bracing the words, you're eating the words, you're bracing it, you're eating, you're pulling in, taking in. The deposit has become nourished. You're growing, flourishing in the presence of God. Oh, we love those times, don't we? But now you realize what's happening. You're getting nourished, you're growing, you're flourishing in God. But there is another stage of your journey. You were not put here just to flourish. You were not put here just to rejoice. You were put here to be tested. So the word you're receiving, oh, man, this is wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
But that word which makes you so rejoice, you will be tested. That deposit that you're receiving, you will be tested. Oh, and the anointing's moving. Oh, praise God. The just shall live by faith. Amen. That's right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You'll be tested for that. When there ain't no anointing around. When there ain't no preacher in sight. That word, that deposit will be tested. Maybe in your young manhood, you're tested with sexual things. Maybe in your young womanhood, you're tested with looking a certain way. You struggle with the fashions of the world and the things of the world. As you go older, your tests will change. Maybe some of you come through many, many different stages. And maybe you come down to that last stage. And because your mama handed down to you a cell in your body that would make you prone to breast cancer. God didn't do that. Jesus Christ didn't do that. It was handed down through your cells. And all of a sudden, you go and have your normal tester. Oh my goodness. Something showed up. Oh, I'm a Christian. I love God. I'm going to church. That has nothing to do. What's that? There's nothing in the Bible, nothing in the message that says Christian sisters will not be susceptible to breast cancer. Nothing in the Bible says Christians can't have problems with their colon. Gallbladder, stomach, brains, eyes, ears, nose. Come on, saints. Saints can have nervous breakdowns and go absolutely, totally insane and be filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. Some of y'all said amen to that. You may think that's me. I'm totally nuts. But maybe your last stage of your journey will be 6 months. On a bed. And your body racked with pain. Your mind coming and going. Your wife looks at you, your husband, your children. They say, why is daddy going through that? He's a good man. Love God. And maybe you're laying there, oh God, take me. Oh God, I don't want to live. Oh God, take me, take me. What if that's the finishing stages of your journey? To where now you're being tested in a way that you weren't tested in your young manhood. You weren't tested when you were strong and vigorous and, boy, you could do this and that and the other. Now you can't move. Can't even take care of yourself. Someone else has to do it for you. Can't even go to the bathroom. Can't brush your teeth or comb your hair. Do you understand the deposit of that word that come from God must be proven, tested? Hallelujah. The last time Carol and I went together to see Sister Ruth Dean, Brother Louis may have announced it to you that she had passed early this morning. The last time we went to see her when she was in the nursing home and the poor little thing, she was saying, oh God, take me. Was praying for her and she said, oh God, why do I have to stay here? Oh God, take me. Oh God, take me. I thought, poor little thing. You know what? None of us know what the last month or two or six or year will be of our life. But if we can look at it in the right way, what if that's Him allowing us to let that stage of our journey in old age be closed out in faith? Though He slay me, I'll trust Him. If I pray and ask Him to heal me and He don't, He's still a healer. If I pray and ask Him to deliver me and He don't, He's still a deliverer. You know what you're doing? Your faith is being tested. Your word, that deposit of the word in your faith is anchoring right back to that. You have completed your journey. When the testing is over, friends, there's no test if every time you pray, oh God, I got a headache, bam, gone. Oh God, my bills are behind, bam, there it is. Somebody sends you $10,000 in the bank, in the mail. Oh man, I'm going through a trial, all gone. I'm going through this, God, all gone. Boy, somebody's feeding you the wrong kind of stuff. That's what you think Christianity is all about. But what if you come to the spot that you pray and you pray? You listen to the tapes, you go to church, seems like you get nothing. You struggle and you struggle. And you struggle. And you find it so much easier when you miss church. You find it so much easier when you go shopping instead of coming to church. That ought to tell you within itself how the devil hates you coming to the house of God. If the devil made it hard on me at Walmart and wanted me to go to church, I'd think, there must be a bunch of devils up there he's wanting me to get messed up with. But if he had encouraged me to go wherever more except to the house of God, that ought to tell you something about that devil. He don't want you to go where the power of God is to hear your faith able to be lifted in the presence of God. He cannot stop you on this journey. But if he can convince you, he does not love you. Do you understand? He is powerless on stopping my journey. He had nothing to do with my journey. I come straight from God. I will return back to God. He can do nothing about that. But if he can affect me on my journey, make me think less of my Father. When testing of his word is over, then we're taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Is the word there that we skipped to come right around down here to be tempted and tested. Isn't it amazing in this great message of Melchizedek? Brother Branham mentions theophany here more than any other place in the message. Things about the theophany was never uttered till this sermon. Even when he opens it up, I heard it again today, but said, now for another revelation on the message for the Lord God. It had never been preached before, and in that great sermon are these same words interlinked. Body tested, trial, testing, trials, body. Why? It's part of your journey. I don't feel sorry for you that's been tested. I feel sorry for those who ain't. Now, my human sympathy, I do. I ain't talking about that. But if you wasn't being tested, if you never have any trials, it's a good sign that you probably ain't even saved. You ain't even making the devil mad enough to get up out of his bed if he ain't aggravating you. One good way I know the devil ain't got me, that he still hates me, and he's still trying me, he's still aggravating me. Let me close. If we would have come through that, there would have been no temptation. We would have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knowed all things. Because he was word before he was flesh. Now notice this. Then we become the word here. Here. We are formed to the word image. To be a partaker of the word. Feed on sports. I mean the word. Feed on money. Feed on the... You'll never become the word by feeding on carnality. Here we're formed of the word image to be a partaker of the word. Feed on the word by being predestinated since the beginning. You see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning? When you started your journey. Many of you can remember it. You joined this church, joined that church, and you tried this and that. Nothing satisfied. That's right. But one day, you just recognized it. You just... It's just like the light. Come on. This my son was dead, but he is alive. He was lost, but he is found. You just recognize. All of a sudden, the quickening power just slipped right over. Maybe you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit for years and years. And it just moved from the spirit realm, just right over to the soul and got on the scene. And you just... Now you see, you started out with a spark. Spark of what? Spark of life. Spark of fire. But you needed more than a spark. You needed a pillar. You needed to be quickened. You needed that Iraq, the Elohim, to come over you and brood over you and make love and coo and say, come on, come on. The Father ordains you so. Glory to God.
friends, testing, trials, it's part of your journey. Because we are already sheep. We were sheep. That's how come we could be reborn. That's not really the question. Being sheep or not being sheep. The thing is, we must prove that we are sheep. That's part of the purpose of you being here, is to prove His word. God always tests His children by His word. Did you hear that? God tests His children by His word. If you believe His word, God tests you by the word. Everything you say, you believe. I believe Jesus is going to. I believe the message. I believe. You will be tested to see if you believe that. Now, it goes deeper than just your intellectual faith. Because if you are the Word, you're being tested of who you are. Not just what you believe, but who you are. Listen. Brothers, let's move down to Patriarch Abraham, paragraph 39. We'll pick this up maybe again next Wednesday night, but I want to share this with you. We think of the Hebrew children. I have here thinking of that on the Hebrew children. After they had been tested against image worship. They remember the king said, whosoever will not bow down to this image shall be thrown into the fiery furnace. These children believed that God's word was right, that they should not worship any kind of an image. But now the difficult part is, this image was the image of the prophet of their age. Now remember, Daniel was named after the God of this king here. So this image is made in the image of the prophet of their age. Now to some, no doubt, it seemed disrespectful that these three men would not bow to the image of their prophet. Lord. Brother Bam said, if you notice, Daniel wasn't around whenever this happened. But when they come to the showdown, they were tested whether they would. Now notice this in paragraph 40. And when they were tested whether they would worship images and break the word of God, they stayed true to the word, regardless of the circumstances. You imagine, regardless of the circumstances. Now do you understand that he also says all the rest of the children of Israel in this domain bowed down to this image. They were not the only Israelites. They were not the only children of Israel that was there. There was thousands of them. And every one of the rest of them bowed down to the image of their prophet. And worshiped that image. Except for these three. They said, our God does not want us to worship images. Even if it's the image of our prophet. Now because they were the word of that day. They're going to be tested. All right, we'll see if you believe that. Do you believe it through the fire? Or you just believe it through your mouth? You believe it and all your bills are paid? When you ain't got one red penny. You believe it when times is good? What about when times is bad? So the king brings them out and says, there's the image of Brother Adam. I mean Daniel. You fall down and worship him. He's infallible. He's God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we love that man. He's our prophet, he's our messenger. But we love him too much to worship him. Glory! So who loved Daniel the most? Them three? Or them tens of thousands that bowed down before him and made an idol out of him? Let me tell you something, friends. The real true believers in this message that really embrace what it's all about. We're going to get fewer and fewer and fewer. We're going to be hated, even by those who say they believe this message. And someday when the pressure goes to be cranked up, some of us will be turned over by some of those who embrace this message. They will tell on us just like Judas did. But that's all right, because when that hour arrives, the change is at hand. Because the way some preachers preach this message, it brings no reproach.
They don't stand against denominations. They don't stand against all the things of the world. They just embrace everybody, queers and all. Everybody's going to heaven. We're all going in the rapture. That's a bunch of trash and nonsense. And people ain't going to be reproached for nothing. But those who stand up and said, come out from her. Get away from that stuff. No, sir, you got to accept them now. We're going to look more and more strange and more bizarre to the world. They're going to look at us and say, they are nuts. They've already got us listed, you know, in one of the cults, the local cults in Johnson City. You didn't know that? Well, we are. We're one of the ones that makes the top list of the local cults. Because we tell women how they should dress. And men how they shouldn't do this and do that. Brother Tim had shared me a thing the other day of some people that was asking back and forth. Said, well, do them women there at that church, do they all wear denim skirts? That's one sure sign. So I guess I'm thinking, so do all of them skirt makers make them just for our church only? And then them schools that require kids to wear uniforms, I guess that makes them a cult because they have to tell them what kind of clothes to wear. And then I think every country that I've ever been around the world when there's men's and women's restroom. You know how you always know which one to go in, brothers? Because the women's has got a skirt on it. So I guess the people who hung that sign up on the toilet door is a cult. But what they call a cult, we come in here and say, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Do we expect them to understand? No. Oh, brother, I want you to sit down and write. Why should I take my time and do all that sort of thing when I can study for you? Oh, my. Notice Brother Bam says in paragraph 40, and when all the rest of the children down there received and went to the worship, they went right on in the way the king said. They went the popular thought of the day that they must do it. So thousands of the children of Israel went that way. And there was three men. They said, we'll not do it. We will not. We're not even sure that God delivers. But we know one thing. We're not bound to the image of that man. That's one thing we know for sure. Look, friends. I have no idea, no way of knowing. You don't know your Brother Terry. God may let me go out of here with cancer. He may let me get some horrible disease, some type of terrible something or another. I may have to resign the church. I don't know. Oh, Brother Donnie, will you lose your faith? Why should I? Because I'm a human being and I contacted something. That has nothing to do with what he done for me at the cross. What if he commits you to suffering? What if he commits you to some type of something that looks horrible? There will be some that will complete this journey right up to the last stage. The heart slows down. The blood pressure. Just in and out. Oh, how many of us stood in the room the last few seconds of life? Me standing there holding their hand. Praying with them. Oh God, help them, Lord. Ease their journey across Jordan. Them suffering, oh my. But when they come across, and when the testing of the word was over, they entered into that word body. It was made for them. Why? The journey was complete. It's about it. Then I want to go home where I belong. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, may you help us tonight. This is from one extreme to the other. As I listened to this Melchizedek again today, and I thought, my, what a contrast in our journey to come straight from the mind of God, the heavenlies, straight down to the gates of hell itself. I left your mind to come to a body born in sin, shaped in iniquity.
come to the world speaking lies. I was sheltered. I was protected. I was kept from evil in your mind. And once I took that breath of life, early that morning on July the 9th, I was so vulnerable. In this house, subject to everything Satan can try to hit it with. I leave the paradise of God, come to bars of bones. I leave the heavenlies, leave your great thinking, to come to this body. When I was young, I didn't think that much about it. But sickness, and distress, and age, all that we begin to realize, oh my. But Lord, I want to be faithful. I don't know what lays before me. I don't know how I'll leave this world. It'd be nice for me to preach a sermon one day or one night and just die here in the pulpit. It'd be great. That don't mean I will. We do not know how we'll go. But when my testing is over, let me be faithful to the last breath. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, help these mothers, these fathers, these young people, each of us, Lord. Grant it, Lord God. We love you, Jesus, with all of our hearts. Would you just slip your hand up if you want the Lord to be mindful of you tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to be faithful in health, faithful in sickness, faithful in bounty, faithful when it's despairing and poor, faithful when the anointing is flowing to where it feels like I'm going to explode, and faithful when it's dry, faithful when I'm on the mountain, faithful when I'm in the valley. For this deposit of word that you put under my care, it must be proven. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands now. Praise the Lord. Wherever you're at tonight, friend, maybe you're on a high in your life. Maybe you're really doing good and no physical problems and no. But let me tell you, you enjoy that while you're there, because more than likely, you'll move out of that. You'll move into something else. But what you want to do is not just be so faithful when that's going on. And when you move from one stage to another, if you lose your youth, your vitality, your vigor, you live to be an old man or an old woman, you lose your sight, you become shaky with palsy. I heard Brother Bam say it today. He said, I'm 56 years old. I'm at the heart attack age. I thought, what a strange thing to say. The heart attack age. So you're the prophet. He never exempted himself because he was Elijah. Never exempted himself because he had the Holy Ghost. But he lived in between two worlds and recognized his body was at the heart attack age. So think and look at yourself. Who knows how you'll be, what the last breaths will be. But there's one thing you want to be, faithful. That deposit of word, this place, oh, I'll trust you, Jesus. I'll be faithful, oh God, no matter what happens. Hold true to that, friends. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, can we sing Hills of Home? Hallelujah. Each one of our saints that passes over on the other side, I rejoice for them, knowing that their journey is finished. We miss them. Certainly we miss them. But can you imagine? Those that have ventured into that place, there's no tomorrow, there's no yesterday. It's just like they just arrived there in that great word. That's where we're all heading, friends. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it for us. Okay, you brothers come pray for these around the altar, please.
The Holy,
listen to the words now.
Of heaven call me. Across the sea,
glory.
Where the love of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's sing it just a little before we go. Hallelujah. Oh, this house of grace. Listen what it is. It's but a prison. This house of flesh.
See you.